I think it's pretty somber, at least compared to Handel's version. If you've heard that in Messiah, I might reference that later. But that is the text for today. We did sing from Psalm 1, and we heard it read, and now we will read what we just sang. So I invite you to return with me in your Bibles to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Look to conclude what we've been seeing in relation to how this is unfolding and really introducing us to the Psalter as a whole, Psalm 1 and 2 together. Looks to be an introduction to the entire songbook that God has set in front of us. God does have his own songbook, and we are introduced to the blessed man and some sort of a singer. And also a stage is set with nations doing their thing. We did look at the way and the work and the worth of the blessed man, that is Jesus. He satisfied all righteousness, and that sets you free, and it makes you blessed, as we've been reminded already today. He's the anointed one who's been set on God's holy hill, and that's what we've been seeing. The first three verses are setting that stage, and the resolve of the Lord, who we looked at last time, is real as God's begotten. He's risen, as Psalm 2 is connected to the resurrection, according to the New Testament. As we saw last time, he's the rightful and ruling son, as we've seen here throughout the first nine verses of Psalm 2. So that's mostly review. If you want to look at your bulletins, I'll be directing you there again. There's an outline provided as well. We're getting to the therefore of the matter in these final verses. We want to keep in mind that throughout the psalm, that we're called to submit. Now, the word that's also used here is kiss. To kiss. Kissing in the Bible. As a command? Let's see how this concludes. I'll read the entire psalm again, and we'll focus on the last part in our study. Hear the word of the Lord. Why do the nations rage? And the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.' Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Let's pray together. Lord, again, for this blessedness revealed in him, in your Son, Lord, we thank you. And we ask you now by your Spirit to work this word into our hearts in such a way that we find its fruit filling our lives and flowing from our lips in a song of praise to and a word of proclamation about the Son who saves us. We ask for this grace in his name. Amen. Kiss the Son, part 3. And the outline set in front of you if you want to see that. If you haven't been here for the first part, and some of you may have been traveling, or either way, you see a lot of R words there. And that's kind of what I do, I guess. But we're looking for ways to live out the psalm, to understand it rightly. And we've seen, well, you can see it right there, since the sovereign has installed his son to rule the nations, we must submit to him. That's the brief summary How do we do that? We reject, what? The absurdity of the arrogant. They're raging in the rebellion, right? We receive the answer of the Almighty, his response and his resolve. He laughs and he sets his son on the throne. And then last time we saw, we revere the attribution of the anointed. That is, the son is attributed. He is God's son, risen, rightful, and ruling. That's Jesus. The whole song is pointing to Jesus, as I'll keep reminding you. And then lastly, you see this point, we want to repeat, this is part of our kissing and submitting, repeat the appeal of the author, and in particular, requirements and reassurance is what we'll look at. So there's the conclusion of the matter such as it is. So if you haven't been here for the flow, that's what we're stepping into here. So that's review and really preview as we go back into this part. The appeal is revealed in verse 10 and following, and then we'll look at the anointed again. So step with me back into verse 10 at this word. See it there? Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Pause there. I think you see requirements there. They are things that are necessary. Even, you know, you might not think of kissing as necessary, but these acts of service are commands. They must be given to the Son because of who he is and because of where he is seated. That's the picture. The Lord's anointed. He got installed. He's verse 6. We studied that already and what that means. And the rest here, there's if there's any confusion at this point for the singer of the song or questions about what's required of the singer, the reader in this case, if you're reading along, and if not, especially the rulers there in verse 10, the author of the psalm is going to make some things clear. And by the way, the author of the psalm, according to the New Testament, is King David. You might not see it always in front of you, but we're told that he's the author. It's ascribed to him. And of course, God wrote all the psalms, so God wrote this one too. Inspired. Here's the author appealing with this warning. There's a call to act wisely, verse 10. It's also translated to show discernment, to think carefully about what? About what you've been hearing so far in this psalm, if not the first two psalms. There's someone ruling on God's holy hill. What are you going to do about that? So you take the time, the author is saying, consider well the king, his kingdom, his kingship. Be wise, be warned. So see that. So that's followed by three other commands. Serve the Lord. It could be translated worship. With fear, as in with reverence. We focused on that some last time. So submission to the king, expressed by service, revering him, rejoicing with trembling. What do you think of that? See that? Rejoice with trembling. It seems like a mix of emotions, maybe? Rejoice. What does that even mean? Submitting, recognizing to joy mixed with awe? I tried to think of that as an illustration just to, because it's, at least it jumps out to me as something unusual. When I was in college, freshman year of college, I was in an art class. It was surprisingly good. And we had to do a project. We had to do a paper. We had to pick an artist of some prominence that we wanted to write a paper about. And then do an act of art like this person did. And I chose Christo. Heard of him. He's been in the news lately. He died recently. He's a guy that wrapped things. Remember, he uses fabric and he wraps bridges and buildings and... He's been in New York City and Paris and Berlin, everywhere. So he was prominent then. This is a long time ago, if you know how old I am. So freshman year of college, and I thought I was so clever writing. It was called Rap City in C Major, I thought. Our teacher's going to love that. So I wrote my paper, and I did my project. I used some sheets from the laundry service and wrapped this area of the campus. Got an A. So you might think this is over, and you fast forward to the week I'm going back for the Doctor of Ministry graduation. And I'm in Denver, flying through Denver. And I hear someone say, "Are you Christo?" And here's this rather frail elderly man walking through just with one person. And I thought, that is Christo. And so, shameless, I just got my picture taken with him. And so the question of, was I in awe of Christo? I wasn't in awe. It's not, I'm trying to think of moments when there's joy and trembling, but I wasn't. I was familiar with his work. I was impressed with what he did, whatever you think of it. It's unusual art. I get that. But the idea, you're meeting someone of prominence rather unexpectedly, and so there's this mixture of emotion. And yet, I'm not indebted to Christo. Christo's not my king. The Christ is your king. You get that. And the idea that you are singing this song and recognizing in him this, I don't know what it does to you. I think it's easy to fly past lines like this and even wonder, what does it mean to rejoice with trembling? In this case, recognizing who the king is, the confrontation, if need be, with the Holy One. So that's a very small scale that I can grasp, and you probably have a better example of what that would even look and feel like in the circumstance. And here the authority, as I already noted, is with the Christ. It's with the King, God's Son, and submission and the call to respond wisely to him, to submit to him, to kiss him. Some cultures, if you're wondering also about that picture, the expression of kissing, there would be, and there's, commentaries have quite a bit to say about what this word could be used for in verse 12. The appeal we're making, is it kissing the king's feet? You've seen that probably in movies. We don't have a king on earth, but there's a kissing of feet. Sometimes you see someone embrace and you kiss on the cheek. There's a relationship here that is being communicated in this kiss. And in this setting, there's a lot going on. What kind of kissing should be happening? What kind of submitting? What is this meaning? And maybe it is going to depend on your relationship with this king. What is your relationship with this king? What would affect your affections? The king is owed honor and homage and servitude and submission, as we're seeing, lest, verse 12, lest he be angry and you can make that person, you perish in the way, or get destroyed is another way of looking at it. Now, if you've been following this, look at the intro to the Psalms over the last weeks and couple months. Have you heard anything that sounds like this ending here? Maybe hearkening back to the contrast made in Psalm 1. We had the way of the blessed, and that's one reason I'm rereading it today for the liturgy. That person prospers, that's verse 3 of chapter 1, if you look back there. And the way of the wicked, verse 6, Psalm 1, they perish, right? So we've come back to that, haven't we, in this? So we have blessings and curses. Don't miss how this all flows together. You perish or you prosper. So which way will it be? Which way, reader or singer of the Psalms, or nations, rulers, kings, which way is the way of wisdom? Submission to the Son, these are your choices. Submission to the Son, or some other way. Some other way that you think might work pretty well. And humans are very clever at coming up with ways that they think are pretty good. Have you ever noticed that sometimes your way really, like if God really understood you and how you're feeling right now, have you noticed this? And by the way, this is a short, compact way of assessing sin. Why did you sin? And we've been over this. The short answer, because you wanted to. In that moment, you really believed that the King of the universe, your creator, doesn't really understand your circumstance. So which is it? You submit to the Son or yourself? Your ways. And so for this author, it's very easy. I think it's clear there's only one way to avoid the wrath of the Son, at least. That's verse 12. See that? For his wrath can flare up in a moment, or quickly kindled. Either way, the call, the appeal, as we're summarizing here, is the same if you want to avoid his wrath. You need to turn away from your rebellion, which is what's been happening in this psalm, and you need to turn to his rule. You've heard the gospel call, repent and believe the gospel. Step away from your rebellion and turn to his authority personally, to this king. The day of the, there's wrath mentioned here, displeasure being poured out. See that? And we've had the raging against him in verse 1. So here's the whole picture coming around. The author's unfolding it, connecting all these pieces. And notice that each of these appeals in verses 10 through 12 that we're zooming in on here, they're not options. You see that? This isn't a multiple choice. Back to the, now you've got the son's way, and then you've got these other good ways. It's not that. I want to emphasize that. These are requirements. Requirements. And at this point in our walk through the psalm, having covered almost all the verses here, I'd like for us to consider just briefly, you could call three R's, there are a lot of R's in front of you, that summarize the requirements. And these are words of reassurance. And this is where I'm going to pivot now to what would be our second subpoint. If we've looked some at the requirements, what about reassurance? Is there anything reassuring in this passage? It sounds like it has heavy words at the end. So maybe that transition didn't just make sense, but let me put it this way. In this psalm, we've heard the gospel call. We have. There's an appeal by the author being made. The readers, you need to recognize who the son is. We've been over that. And in the process, and having done so, you repent and receive. Remember, you're turning from your sin and you're taking, you're grabbing hold of what the king says and who he is. And then you rejoice. And this is the happy feature, the ring of reality. There's a rejoicing in this psalm. We rejoice in the truths, even though they seem like requirements. So this is evident. We've looked at verses 1 through 6, verses 7 through 9, explicit commands end up here, kissing, serving, submitting to the Son, which is the Lord's anointed, and anointed and is in Hebrew is Messiah, and in Greek it's Christ. This is the Lord Jesus, Messiah, Christ, Yahweh. That's who this king is. Ruler of God's kingdom, seated on the throne in Zion. Last week, if you were here, you may recall there's a repeated refrain. Maybe a question was asked like this along the way. How's the gospel presentation coming along? And we've been over this so many times in different psalms, but how can you proclaim Jesus from this psalm? And by the way, this is one of the easiest. So if I'm not doing it well, I mean, I spent 3 weeks trying to do it, but so that's I get a lot of time to do it. The New Testament says so much about this king in this psalm. The revealing of his life, his birth, his baptism, his betrayal, crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension to the holy hill, the ruling with authority over the nations. Revealed here. This is a gospel proclamation of the Son, the Sovereign One. And each of us is required to see him for ourselves. The words, and I don't know how, I can't go in your mind, the Holy Spirit does this on your behalf. As you're singing the psalm, I'm trying to trick you, I get burned by this too. Like, I knew we were singing Psalm 2 today and Psalm 1, and it's still possible to go, oh, I don't know this tune, or these words are weird. But they're not weird. And we've been studying them. And we slow down and we sing the song, realizing this, we need to recognize Jesus, repent of our sin, receive him, and rejoice in him. This one that is revealed right here in these lyrics. And so if you've never seen Jesus in this psalm, please see him. And receive him as the righteous king. For another, because his wrath can quickly kindle, verse 12. And then this reassuring word, but whose mercies, they're guaranteed. This is grace coming to you, this submission fully to his rule. There's gospel revealed here, revealing the life, death, burial, and resurrection and reign of Jesus Christ. And this is also how the psalm ends, with this word of reassurance. You see that? Strikingly, beautifully, you could say. It comes right after the words of requirement and wrath. Verse 12, see those again? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. And then this, blessed are, you listening, singer of psalms? Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Blessed are. So there's blessedness. That's supposed to sound familiar to the singer of the psalms. This is how the Psalter opens. Remember? Blessed is the man who. And we meet that man in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. And his name is Jesus, the Lord. And if by faith you see him, you hear the story being told in these songs purposefully, you are blessed. You are righteous. Your way will prosper. You have a refuge. Blessed are all who take refuge or trust in him. Are you following this? Are you making a way for the reality of salvation seen here? Depending on how you relate to this king, it's a salvation story. You either get destroyed and damned, that's a terrible option, or you submit and you kiss. You see him. You serve him. This author is making that very clear. The singer of the songs, returning you to this picture, revealing the story in these opening songs. So this is how the songbook opens. It's about the Son and the blessing that he gives. And apart from him, you find only curses. That's the downside. That's the reality, though. Wrath, judgment, perishing, punishment, yikes. Blessings and curses. Obedience and submission. In short, this is the way of the righteous, and that's the way of Jesus. If you're looking at this and realize, well, now we haven't studied all the Psalms together, but the Old and the New Testament are telling you this story. The New Testament is very cheerful in telling you and interpreting for you, as we've seen in our study, even in these first two Psalms. Recognizing, repenting, receiving, rejoicing in the Christ. I mentioned that the tune, and this was an add-in, I added a post-it. This won't take too long. But my mom, you know her, we were at her house yesterday, and she said, I want to tell you something. Apparently, she, and I guess a small group, if you're in it, some of this is Handel's Messiah. Maybe you've heard it. It's a Christmas. Usually this gets broken out at Christmas time when people gather and sing. Some of you have sung it. It's very long. This looks like it might be part of Handel's original script. It's pretty long. I got to borrow this to show you something here. You know something about this? Not only the Christmas story part, but the music was written in 24 days. It's crazy. See all this music. 24 days. I'm watching a documentary recently of another band that put together a few songs in a few weeks, and that was impressive. This is more impressive. And it starts with you. We heard this Christmas season, "Comfort Ye My People." So the overture, and then "Comfort Ye My People." It starts with Isaiah, and then it works through revealing the Christ. And here, this is where we are in the number 40. It's Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Okay? So this is what we just sang in our song of prep. Okay, what do you think of that? You guys can read music? Even if you can't read music, there's a lot of busyness there. And what's being said over and over again, why do the people imagine a vain thing? Why do the nations so furiously rage together? And it keeps going. And I did put it on YouTube, and it's like, whoa, I think I, whoa. And then the next, number 41, it's called, "Let us break their bonds together." This is Psalm 2, verse 3. So we get pages of this. This is in the Messiah. It made the cut for telling the story. Oh, and then number 42. "He that dwelleth in heaven" is Psalm 2, verse 4. And then, "Thou shalt break them," Psalm 2, verse 9. "Thou shalt break them. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron." And again, very impressive. "Dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." You know, Merry Christmas. So this thing is going, and then it comes into potter's vessel, "Thou shalt dash them." And the next song is Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Hallelujah chorus. That's where it shows up. The Hallelujah chorus, some think that's the last thing. It's not. It's right after Psalm 2. That's part of the storytelling here. It's recognizing also the need for the singer and the sinner to submit, to kiss. There's a lot, and not just musically, but then praise the Lord. This is part of the reassuring word, this Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." So it's even a reflection on Psalm 2. He's seated, he reigns. The Christ, if you know the Hallelujah chorus. Yeah. So we are revisiting that. We're resting in it. We're repeating it. Peter and John quote from this psalm. We've seen that. The author of Hebrews quotes from the psalm. Paul quotes from this psalm. Jesus relates the psalm to himself. These are themes. These are theology. Psalm 2, repeatedly placed in front of God's people throughout the Word, throughout the singing, recognizing, encouraging, reassuring, revisiting gospel truth over and over again, so that God's people can rest in it, can rest assured in his reign. And to rest in, as we've seen, the way, the work, and the worth of the Son, Psalm 1, who did delight in God's law perfectly, fulfilled the law perfectly for his people. And that's why you can live it out with gratitude and respond with hallelujah yourself, enjoying the Lord, his blessings, awaiting for his glorious return. Even when all the nations are raging to this day, and the Lord sets his king on the hill, holy hill, it's his son, he's ascended to heaven. The nations have got nothing. No nation will take over. It just won't happen. It can't happen. That's why it won't happen, because the Son rules. Subjects of the King, Psalm 2 telling it like it is, the Scriptures repeating it in the refrains. The Son has been seated on the Lord's holy hill, and the nations need to consider that wisely, act wisely, submit to the Son. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1, blessed are all who take refuge in him. That's how the Psalter opens. It's practically an invitation to the singer to see Jesus and to celebrate him in every song that follows. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for revealing your Son, and we thank you for telling your story about his rule and his authority and his grace. We thank you for giving us songs that celebrate his worth and his work. Lord, as we close this calendar year and as we see nations rage in our own day, grace us by your Spirit. Grace us all truly to kiss the Son. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Response will be singing number 417. 417, "Jesus shall reign where the Son." Let's stand together.